views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
David Harbour from Stranger Things, as we've been talking about, that he has this new show on Netflix that you guys have seen.
It's like Dr. Frankenstein's Frankenstein's Monster.
Dr. Frankenstein, Frankenstein's Monster. It's a tongue twister. Dr. Frankenstein's Monster's Monster Frankenstein or something like that.
Frankenstein's are both in the middle, right. But it's Frankenstein's and then singular Frankenstein.
And it's David Harbour as a son looking back at his father who wrote a play based on Frankenstein's
and
Monster.
Grandfather as well.
And grandfather.
He's the third.
And he's interviewing people like, I'm trying to find some shit out. They're like, why is this so important to you?
One of them is like, I fucked him. Like, what?
Oh, God.
It's very, ridiculous. And he, as his grandfather or father, is playing very Orson Welles-like.
Oh, with, 100% with Orson Welles.
Absolutely doing that.
You expect him, and just because of a Family Guy, have him sit, they're eating fucking, like, frozen peas. And
the style of comedy is very reminiscent of, like, the old 70s BBC-style comedy, like, where it goes from anywhere from Monty Python to, like, Blackadder or something, where it's got that
just dry.
Really
it's
dry,
so dry.
Playing it super straight.
Well, it reminds me very much of, and I know it's of the same name or same vein, but Young Frankenstein, that it really does remind me of that over theatrical, like sort of Mel Brooks type comedy that he really plays well. I think David Harbour got started in theater and moved on to movies.
Are you saying that they have a remake? Young Frankenstein, he needs to be the monster?
Either that or he can be Gene Wilder's character.
No, he could not.
No.
He's zany enough, but he really would do the put it on the Ritz.
No, you know who really would be good as the Wilder role?
Who?
G. Bearshaw.
God.
Fucking hell.
I haven't done that in a while, sir.
What is he going to do, the whole movie in a hockey jersey?
He can play all the parts. All the parts in Young Frankenstein Reboot.
No. I'm sure people will pay them to take it off the shelves.
People will burn down a studio.
They will.
Yeah.
YouTube will crash. Their stock market, their stock prices will crash.
Fuck storming Area 51. I'm storming Studio 4 to stop that atrocity. Jesus Christ.
But also, what David Harbour just got announced this past weekend, that he's going to be in the Black Widow movie.
Yes.
The Red Guardian.
The Red Guardian.
Which sounds like a maxi pad.
One of the strongest female character, like, sequel movie, or not, no, initial
not,
movies.
Not Black Widow, like, the antagonists are in the movie. Yeah.
Right, who fights the female main character.
But I guess, it's a good thing his suit's red.
Come on. Seriously, it's not our fault they did that. It's easy pickings.
New Tampax, Red Guardian.
Red Guardian, Red Guardian edition. David Harbour's face on the front of it.
I'm absolutely making a meme of that. Like,
I'm trying really hard to connect this to a Whiplash reference, but as long as it's better than Whiplash, that's all I gotta say. So
David Harbour comes up. Have you seen my bird?
I like my fucking bird, okay?
No, what would be funny is if they make like just an offhand reference to that where it doesn't say my bird, but like he walks by and there's a parrot in the room and he just kind of looks at it and like tilts his head and then just doesn't say anything.
Better yet if Sam Rockwell walks by with the parrot on his shoulder and he's like, what? And he just walks by.
A younger, in the background.
It'd be a young Sam Rockwell just starting out.
Just going out
to the past.
There you go.
Yeah.
There was a lot of information that we just got over this past, like a lot of information.
Oh, God, information overload.
Every year. We've done Comic-Con episodes before, but have we done a full episode on Comic-Con or do we just minis?
We did a full episode. I know we did a full episode the first year of the podcast in 15.
Okay. I remember we did the second one I was on, we did a mini one. It was like 30 minutes.
Yeah, we did like a little 30-minute thing.
But a lot of times it's just more so referenced for usually around that same weekend.
Sure.
And, you know.
Basically we're giving the audience who's listening to this all the shit that you and I will be talking about moving forward as all these movies come out.
Kind of,
These episodes from GUI.
Yeah, these will be episodes for GUI for the most part.
Yeah, this is like our season preview, if you will.
And our dick tease, if you will.
In addition to stuff from Comic-Con, we're also going to have some announcements on the GUI network that we're going to be discussing on this episode as well. So, thank you for listening to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, all things San Diego Comic-Con 2019. Welcome!
Hey, this is Bobo from Avail. You're listening to Geeks Under the Influence of Something, and they're all going to be drunk because they don't have any children tonight.
That's true. That's true.
We're all kind of swaying pretty good there.
We were feeling the groove there today, man. Or are we just still wobbly from last night?
Yeah, that's still it. Wobbly, which I do want to thank Bo from Avail for giving us that plug.
Yes.
For this episode. We appreciate it. Yeah, he and the rest of the Avail guys just absolutely blew it out of the water. If you are not from the Richmond area, if you're from the Richmond area, you probably already heard.
Or you should just know.
I stopped at a gas station on the way to meet up with Scotty and a few other friends before the show. Stopped at the gas station right near my house that I normally stop at. He's like, hey, you know, partying tonight? Like, what you got going for the weekend? And I said, I got a show, a band that hasn't been around for years, a legendary local band and stuff. And the dude behind me in line went, oh, what band? And he's like a West End, like, you know, polo shirt wearing dude. I'm like, oh, Avail. And he's like, Avail? Avail is playing tonight? And I said, yeah, but the tickets have been sold out for a while. I was like, oh, I'm missing Avail. That even that even some like West End just normie
just
looking
that far
dude.
Away yeah. Like here's your finger up your ass far away from the pulse
yeah exactly. It's like you're about a few months late. It's okay though. It's okay.
Yeah, Avail is a legendary punk rock band out of Richmond, Virginia that became internationally famous in the 90s into early 2000s.
Yep.
And are the darlings of Richmond. I mean, they are kind of one of, they're up there with like Gwar as far as like the most well-known bands.
Quote unquote fame, yeah. If you will.
Out of Richmond. Yeah.
Children of Richmond.
Yeah.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God is also up there. Yeah. And don't forget, I mean, Mechanicsville still counts. Jason Mraz. Nothing. Wow. That's the quietest.
That's because I think we all want to kill you right now.
Yeah, fair.
I mean,
I think you need to add like a womp, womp, womp sound effect.
Definitely a womp, womp on that one, man. Dead in the water. Dead in the water.
Oh. Yeah, but we were
like Russian bum.
We were able to talk with Bo for a couple minutes after the show, and he was nice enough to give us a little plug. So yeah. We do appreciate that.
Well, that's the main props to Avail, that they've never had the rock star attitude. We're brothers in Richmond, brothers, sisters, whatever, family. And that's one of the main things that have made them great, why we all love them 20 plus years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, mad props to them always.
Yeah, they're just Richmonders. I mean, don't act like assholes, but they do rock the fuck out. They killed it last night. They absolutely killed it on stage. There was so much energy. Seeing an entire crowd singing along to almost every single song was awesome.
I believe two nights in a row that they played, and as far as I know, there's been no reported fights or stupid bullshit as well.
There was so much community felt last night.
Oh.
Everybody was hugging on each other, complete strangers, arm in arm with strangers, grinning with each other.
That's a pretty great thing. That's old school Richmond, where you're not doing roundhouse fucking kicks.
Nope. And
in
when people fell, everybody turned immediately and picked them up.
Goddamn right. Yeah, and that is amazing. I wish I was there. That's amazing.
Between that, I mean, at least 5, 6, 7 people I helped pick back up because you don't want to get them trampled.
Right.
No.
And then countless people getting up for crowd surfing. That's why my shoulders fucking hurt is from them like getting up and then standing on me.
I was kicked in the face.
That's one of the reasons I stopped mosh pitting is because of that very reason, is that camaraderie went away somewhere.
It did.
It just became just about anger, and that's not what it's about.
For some groups it did. For others, it's always kind of been there. I mean, I still have scrapes on my head from because Jennifer and I were up front. So all the crowd surfing came our way. So basically my hands were above me most of the time, and feet, elbows, and knees were definitely into my head at one point. Mm. So
it was after everybody started doing fucking Tai Bo in the mosh pit, it was when everything started getting weird.
It's like stationary time. They just do the
kick, kick, punch, punch.
It's almost like the goth video that always goes around and you can interchange the music.
Oh, yeah. See, that's kind of, as I kind of always knew would happen, is, you know, it got weeded out. Yeah.
So
now, I mean, we could totally do an episode about the Richmond music scene easily.
That sounds like the episode that we're going to do with.
that is in the works.
That is
your first preview for future episodes, guys. There is going to be a wonderful music episode that we're working on.
Yes.
So
yes, Let's introduce the panel.
Hi.
How do you feel about being the original Kyle?
Dude, the Infinity
Gauntlet. All I can think of is the Eminem song. Will the real Kyle please stand up? Yeah, right. No, I'm sitting on a couch saying, fuck all you fake Kyles.
Yeah.
And your monster drinks.
It's like I am Spartacus with people that punch drywall.
I punched the original drywall straight out the factory floor.
I was punching drywall when you were still crushing Jolt Cola cans.
When you were just, when you were just a glimmer of your daddy's dick.
Yeah. They don't know what Jolt Cola is.
That's what the original Kyle crushes Jolt Cola cans.
That's exactly what it is.
Well before Monster Energy.
Actually, back then Jolt was in bottles. So that's even more
that's
hardcore.
That's true.
Yeah, that would be way more hardcore.
Yeah.
You crushed Jolt bottles, sir.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I have the scars to prove
the
it.
The original Kyle.
It's Jolt bottles and Surge cans.
Definitely Surge.
Earned his name on the network and his show, honestly, and why he is the original Kyle. We're talking Kyle Smash here.
Hello, everyone.
You got an episode in the tube?
I do. Well, I got a couple coming out.
Yeah. And the format has changed a little bit. That's one of the kind of things that we're going to discuss on as an announcement for GY is that Smash Doc's still around. Format change a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I've never gone away. And
no.
I won't.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
Damn it.
It's going to be the post-apocalypse. You're not even going to have power. You're going to be talking into
you try to get rid of me, I'm going to wake up. You're going to wake up looking up at in your bed, seeing me staring over you saying, I'm still here, Hobbit.
That's still right. That is so sexy.
Think about that tonight.
Immensely sexy.
Yeah, I got a couple coming out. Definitely a new format to kind of take it things in a different direction from what GUI is as a whole, is not just about movies and media and those sort of things. Although those are wonderful things to talk about.
Absolutely.
That's built everything on. I wanted to go in a different direction and just have a good, most as worldly conversation about like what's wrong with the world. How would you fix it?
Sure.
How do you, as an individual, how do you see things in a more generalized view?
It's the philosophies of life almost.
Yeah. I want to. Yeah. If I could have a 30-minute podcast where people, want to listen and actually, if they want to think about what we're talking about on a more intellectual level, then that's all I can ask for.
Fair enough. Well, I'm excited to hear the new episodes for sure. So definitely keep an eye on the Smash Talk page on Facebook, on GYpodcast.com for updates on that as well.
Yes, sir.
Next to Mr. Smash, the Big Daddy.
Hey, hey, hey.
Himself, Scotty P is here with us.
Finally, again.
It's been a minute since you've been on. It's been a few months.
It's been months. Yeah. Unfortunately, well, again, the joys of being a geeky parent is you have to be a parent to deal with the damned kids.
Yeah.
So, to put it bluntly.
And that's kind of part of the reason that you haven't been on is that we've been doing a lot of movie episodes about stuff that just came out and you having kids.
It's very hard for me to catch it that first opening night and hop on the episode.
Sure.
And
Well, it takes a real man to be a daddy.
That's true.
Anybody can be a father.
Anybody can be a father.
But he ain't your daddy. Thank you, Michael Rooker, for that.
We even brought that up on the Stranger Things episode of Hopper being like, I'm your daddy now.
Exactly. Your dear old dad.
Yeah, right. Oh, jeez.
3 inches.
So, yeah, Scotty P of Geek Father is here to help us talk about Comic-Con.
I try.
Next to him, my right-hand man on the left, my partner in crime here. Mr. Lowdown Brown McGraba.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Did you just call him MacGruber?
MacGraba.
MacGruber.
I just said it with a weird accent.
MacGruber was a good skit, but a horrible movie.
Truth. Yeah.
The movie was garbage.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think they're coming out with a TV show. I think I actually read something on that. They're actually working on
that. That was not part of the Comic-Con announcements. That big Hall H. MacGruber panel they had this year.
Well, Disney bought it, so they're gonna. he's gonna be a new.
That's the excuse for everything. Disney bought it.
No, that's the biggest fuck you too. If they're like, fuck you, we're gonna buy MacGruber and we're gonna make a movie that makes $500 million,
and he's gonna be part of the Defenders.
They reboot the Defenders to be on Hulu, and it's just like MacGruber.
I know that disgust look on your face.
The new MacGyver, the guy that played Havoc in First Class.
Yes,
the new MacGyver. He's gonna be thrown in there as well, just to have them parry back and forth.
That's how they tied the TV. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that?
Lowdown.
I don't feel good about that.
Nauseous.
That fucking reboot of MacGyver was shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
They took everything away from it that was good.
Yeah.
Like, well, the entire campy.
I didn't even watch it, so.
Well, once you can Google that half that shit doesn't actually work, then you take away the imagination of it all.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just MacGyver, the original MacGyver knew what it was, and it didn't take itself seriously at all. And right. this new one did.
Mm.
Took itself a little seriously. I watched about two episodes, and I was kind
of
like... Yeah.
Speaking of trash, one thing I do want to discuss about Comic-Con is the most jarring and upsetting movie trailer that I've ever seen.
We can get to that. I haven't finished introducing everybody.
Okay.
Yet.
All right.
Yeah. 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 The guy who's getting ready to like just fucking vent on... I know what he's talking about. to my right yeah. is... The Hobbit. I'm like the Hobbit Bickett.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
I am mostly excited about some of the stuff that we've been talking about, or we will be talking about from Comic-Con, but there is definitely one thing that I want to first get real into. But for now, I am Mike the Hobbit, founder of the Geeks Under the Influence Network. I also host Booze, Clues, and Smash Talk on the network. So check those out at gypodcast.com.
Do you now?
sorry, smack my pitch up.
Ooh. See, that's what he does. He draws you in, lets you do your own thing, and then he just takes it from
then
you.
Then I take it over.
Well, you know, they both start with an S, so yeah. It's fair.
And M, S-M.
That's true.
S-M-A.
As we discussed earlier, I am still deeply like sore and hungover from
I'm so sorry for that. Oh, yeah, the Avail show. We're talking about something different.
Oh, no, that
yeah.
was after the Avail show. Big boy.
Ooh, sweaty balls.
He punched the drywall in my butthole last night.
Well, hey, Kyle, you lucked out, though.
Damn you.
With all that sweat, it was already lubed up. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, I'm so disturbed. Yeah, a little excited. I don't know what to feel right now.
Ew.
Oh, I creamed your schmagel.
I'm definitely going to try to find any excuse possible to use the term drywall punch my bunghole. So, yeah, like...
And this will be the episode of why we will never be invited to San Diego Comic-Con ever.
Exactly.
Holy fuck.
Anyway.
Hopefully GalaxyCon does not catch wind of this one.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think they knew who we were. We just yeah. did the first
Fair.
Episode.
Fair.
Aware.
Fair.
This yeah. is the first episode.
Okay. So, yeah, the first one that I really want to get into is if you have not seen the unholy... just horrifying, jarring, like gave me nightmares trailer for the live action Cats that's
God.
Coming out. It is so deeply upsetting.
Who asked for that? Didn't that Broadway show die off like over
also,
a decade
no,
ago?
There are fans yeah. of the musical Cats, the Broadway musical. There are fans.
What's
There's
what
like
I'm
three
saying?
Of them, and they're all named Edna.
And they all had $20 million to put towards a movie.
They were all right. They were all rich widows in New York.
They were married like, to James Cameron at one point. They took his
face technology. That nice Idris Elba guy to be in there, along with Judy. Get Judy in there.
Jeez.
And Tay Tay.
Can we talk about Tay-Tay. The fact that like the trailer is just so unsettling? Why did the CGI? Why CGI the entire costume and put their face floating over this? Disgusting hairy thing, and then the whole thing that like they're like shrunken to be like cats, so they're like everything around them is gigantic. That freaked me the fuck out.
That's
I don't know why.
There was a scene where they're like jumping on a bed, like a bunch of people cats jumping on a bed and going like meow. No God,
yeah,
no. Burn it.
What happened?
Fucking
what happens?
It.
What happens in the cut scenes in that? Like, where did that go?
The cut scenes
what direction did that take? Ooh. Cats do like to lick. That's all I'm saying.
They're drywall punching each other's butthole.
With their tongues. With
oh,
their
my God.
Tongues.
We're totally going to see Judy Dench's cat, butthole in this.
Cat tongue plaster butthole punching.
Yes.
There you go.
That's the name of the episode. Yeah.
That's
how you search it on Google.
No, yeah. that'll be the thing. We're going to see Dame Judi Dench like go up to her human, and it's going to be this like massive person because they're all supposed to be cat size, and she like curls around and then just sticks her butthole right on his face.
Jesus.
Surprisingly, it looks like her face.
You see Idris Elba like curl up on the keyboard as somebody's like trying to finish their resume or something.
Oh, Jesus. Now, I want to know, with the rating of this movie... Is that why they don't have nipples? Did that have something to do with the rating of the movie?
See Judi Dench with like 8 nipples.
Hey.
This is too much.
If we're going to be talking about butthole punching, you might as well include the nipples.
Nobody will be able to make a musical movie for like 20 years after this. It's going to ruin the entire genre.
So what are the, and to follow along with you, Scotty, what happens with their cat junk? Like, are they gonna? It's just not gonna be there. Do they just reproduce?
Are they all Ken dolls?
Yeah, they reproduce by like imagination or like Rick and Morty.
No, we've got to get a scene of them using a litter box. They're that fucking small. There's got to be
Idris Elba shitting in a gravel desert. Yeah, the genitals. Like, what is Rum Tum gonna tugger? In oh,
that's the name of the episode.
Rum Tum Tugger. So,
if you want to see the 2019 version of Two Girls One Cup, check out the Cats trailer.
Holy fucking shit. Dame Judi Dench.
Except for the cup or old soup cans found in the alleyway.
Dame Judi Dench on her cat body, and that one leg just up, and she's cleaning the butthole.
Licking that butthole.
And just licking it clean. Yeah.
That's honestly, that's the biggest problem with this, is they're making it too literal. Like, they're making it too literal.
Yeah. Taylor Swift gets out of the cat box and starts singing Shake It Off as she's, like, kicking her paws.
I'm laughing way too hard at this.
Because it's terrible. It's terrible.
It's such a stupid idea.
I guarantee you that bombs.
Oh, yeah.
It bombs.
I just rewatched Battle Angel, Alita Battle Angel, and there's a ton of CGI in that, but it looks good. There's people on robot bodies, and they look good. And yeah. As Cats comes out, it'll be a couple years since Lita came out, and Cats looks fucking, if you're going to do that much CGI, make sure it looks good. I mean, they did Planet of the Apes and they looked great.
Right. So Planet of the Apes looks fucking
beautiful. The technology's there.
Yeah. Well, you had Andy Serkis too, like doing the main character and that's what you really need, is you need great mocap, but that's a James Cameron produced or directed film. Alita.
It was Cameron produced. It was, I believe, was it Robert Rodriguez? I think it was Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez. Okay. But the technology's still the same, right? So that would be the technology that you would use for Cats. But it's almost like they did it in reverse. Like they put it on their bodies and their face was just cut and paste.
Yeah, they made a movie that looks like it was filmed through a Snapchat filter.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like those elf cards you can send where you like impose dude's face on the elf body and they do the dance.
Oh, that jib jab.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel like the whole movie's going to be. Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
It's
god awful.
All right, can we get into the good
shit?
Yeah,
let's get into the good shit because, please. I mean, it needed to be discussed.
We'll get that out of the way so we can all throw up in our mouths real quick and then move on.
The big one that I want to get into, we can knock out before the break because this will probably take until the break, is the Marvel panel stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. There was a lot of information that just got dropped by Marvel for this over the weekend for the next phase, Phase 4. Some of the movies, some of the casting for these different movies all got announced. My big excitement is they're making a live action Blade movie.
Yes. Blade meaning another Blade movie.
But I think it's going to be a reboot.
It's a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
No more Wesley.
With an Academy Award winner too.
Marikshala Ali.
Ali. Yes. And which he's an amazing actor.
Well, I was just telling I think Hobbit's the only one I've talked to about this. I actually finally got up the gumption to watch season 3 of True Detective because season 2 is still burning my fucking eyes in my brain, and he was without a doubt like the best. I mean, he was awesome in Moonlight. I haven't seen the newest movie that he was
Moonlight
in with Viggo Mortensen. He's in a movie with Viggo Mortensen recently. Oh, okay. He was a piano player.
Oh, Green Book?
Yes, yeah,
I heard that was really good. Right. I haven't watched it yet.
They won all the awards.
He fucking was amazing in season 3 of True Detective. You guys need to watch that if you guys can get on HBO.
I'm definitely behind on that show,
And Luke Cage. I mean, he was fucking fantastic in that.
Oh, yeah. He was Cottonmouth, baby.
Yeah. And that's only
the real villain of season 1.
Damn absolutely. Right. Only in 2019 could you get somebody of that caliber, and I'm not taking anything away from Wesley Snipes, especially the first two movies. He did wonderful with that character. He made it come to life.
Absolutely.
But it was, you know, it was ultra stylized. And he, although being a good actor, I never considered him a great actor. So when you get actors of these caliber, only in 2019 could you get him to play a character like Blade, which there is only so much internal conflict, you know, that you can portray out there amongst the action, you know what I mean? Which is most of what that character is.
Right. And, well, to feed off that as well, I mean, you got to remember with Wesley Snipes, that was also a sign of the times.
Sure.
For, you know, putting the tribal tattoos on him. But he could do the action, which is what they needed for Blade at that moment.
Right.
You know, it was a perfect action movie. This new one, I think, is going to go a little bit more in depth of actual story arc, at least fingers crossed. I mean, give me the action by all means, you know. Take the stakes and kill a bunch of fucking vampires, sure. But I think this guy's going to bring a little bit more to being able to do a story arc, a little bit more emotion to it that Blade should have, the way that character's evolved in the comics.
And I mean, look at it. When Snipes did the first Blade, it was also on a down slope of his career. They're picking up I correct the way I said it the first time. Mahershala. There's no K. There's no K in there. It's just
okay.
Mahershala Ali's career. He is on the up and up. Like, the dude is at the top of his game right now.
He's
and
a
then
fucking
he's just
Oscar winner.
He's just gonna get even higher, right? Like, I mean, his career is not going down anytime soon. But could you imagine? Like, you look at the dude's face, right? And you know, like, when you watch, at least when I watch movies, you know, I'll look at like how Miles move and stuff like that. Him with those fucking fangs is gonna look gnarly as shit.
Right. Yeah.
It's gonna look badass. Yeah.
What's funny is that the first time I think I saw him, he was in, remember the 4400 on USA?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think that was one of his first big initial roles. I want to say he was...
I never watched that. Was he good in that?
I watched the first season or so. It seemed like it was great. There was some good character development, but from like most of the shows where they really try to push it so much, it sort of loses steam, and they're like, let's just pull this random story out of left field.
They blew their load in the first episode, if you ask me.
Oh, true. I'll give you that.
But what I am kind of upset about is that is such a good casting for Blade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm upset that I had thought about who would they get instead of Wesley Snipes. There's nobody that would be able to play Blade besides Wesley Snipes. They're going to have to get him back, and he's getting up there where if he's starting a new franchise of Blade movies, this is not the age to be starting it.
Right.
But then they announced, and I went, well, duh, yeah, absolutely. That's a perfect fucking choice. He's going to be incredible in that role.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for a while, I'd heard so many rumors, but I genuinely thought it was going to be Michael B. Jordan that they would go after.
He'd be
he may
young.
Not be. I don't think so. I mean, he's at least in his mid to late 20s.
Blade
now.
Doesn't age like us, remember?
Blade doesn't age. Yeah. So he would stop aging or age slower at starting at a certain point.
But probably, he's already in the MCU, though.
But he's dead.
Yeah, but then recycling the actor, they haven't done that. Like, they don't do that.
If they plan on bringing the phases together with Blade, I see that happening. But that's where, in my mind, I would have liked to have seen him to give that a try.
That's where I'm just going to emphasize how, like, where Marvel in general, I'm just giving this general aspect, where Marvel has done great with picking these actors on who they play. That, just remember on the back burner, that fear of, you know, at one point Iron Man will come back and it will not be Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
How is that?
Yeah.
How the hell is that going to sit?
I feel like they're probably going to wait till maybe phase five.
I don't know. Well, that's a whole other thing about the phases where, again, personally, I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. After phase four, I think, is when they're going to reboot.
Yeah.
I have a theory. There was, I forget the name of the character, but there was a black woman that took on the Iron Man moniker.
She was in Luke Cage. The cop from Luke Cage. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you, they've done it with other characters before. You kind of combine a couple characters, and the little girl from Captain Marvel.
Pepper Potts too.
Pepper Potts has already like shown herself to be rescued.
Exactly.
So,
right.
But you get the little girl from Captain Marvel, and you have it years later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was the 90s that Captain Marvel took place. So this girl's like an adult now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's, of course, clearly smart. She's already been around supers. She's in school for stuff, you know, and because of Captain Marvel being like a close associate, ends up kind of taking on the Iron Man moniker.
Yeah.
Because she was a Captain Marvel character in the comics, like a powered person.
Right.
But mm-hmm. So you just kind of combine those two characters together and then boom, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, and from what we saw today, and as we go more into the Marvel films, you're going to see a more female-centric,
mm-hmm.
Central-based, like, hero character kicking off to Thor, done by Taika Waititi, who's writing the next one,
Taika!
Called Thor, or Thunder, and,
Love and Thunder.
And Natalie Portman will be the, just as she is in the comic, her character is going to be the new Thor, female Thor.
And... Well, and we can go more into Thor as well, but you bring up female, not only female characters and actresses, but the new director mm-hmm. for Eternals is a lady as well.
Yep. That's true.
Absolutely.
That's true.
And I'm super into it. Like, especially the Eternals, the cast is fantastic.
It's got
Kamal, who I'm a huge fan of. Yeah. Anything he's in, I'm like, yep, I gotta see that.
Yeah.
And it's funny you bring that up. The director of Black Widow is also female.
Yep.
Right.
Nice.
Which makes
awesome.
The most sense.
Marvel, which makes sense.
Marvel is smart.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, the big thing that got released to me outside of just the movies with Marvel's panel was also like, I didn't realize they were releasing that many fucking series. That are going to like, and a couple of them are going to be in conjunction with like the movies, like the Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. Is that what it's pronounced? Is that right? In the Multiverse of Madness or Multiverse of Madness?
Multiverse of Madness.
And that's going to go directly with the Scarlet Witch
Yeah, series. Scarlet Witch will be in the movie, which is a sequel, but it'll be a run as part of her series.
As part
as
of
well.
Her series, they're going to be intertwined. Yeah,
WandaVision is going to be her. Is going to be their TV
it's
version,
gonna, and they're going to bring. Yeah,
it's going to actually have her and Vision.
Yeah,
in
I know it's going to bring Vision back, which is awesome. And I was talking to somebody about that. Like, man, they just need to bring Vision back. Well, they're not going to bring Vision back the way you know Vision, because
right.
But they, I think they're going to bring him back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And of course, they released. They are, but I mean, obviously, we've got fucking Falcon.
Winter Soldier.
And Winter Soldier series. Oh, oh my God.
Another TV. Yeah, dude. That's going to be great, too.
They announced like 5 series. Hawkeye's getting his own. There's a fuck ton coming out with series. They released almost like as many series as they did movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll take off, too. I like that you brought up Multiverse of Madness. First off, I think that's a fucking amazing name. Yeah, and I was watching the panel, or as much as you were allowed to watch, and whoever snuck it on YouTube, we love you. Mm-hmm. I like that they're doing it because, spoiler alert, after Spider-Man Far From Home, you find that the mention to the multiverse was a ploy. So you really have not had that interaction yet, except for through Doctor Strange. So I remember watching the panel and Kevin Feige comes up and he's just and he's just like, you know, Mysterio may have like basically fucked you over in terms of the multiverse and lied to you, but it's very, very real. And then he brings on Benedict Cumberbatch and
it's Bandersnatch Cumberbatch.
And
Sherlock.
Yeah, yes, Sherlock.
There we go.
And just the fact that it's actually going to be fear based.
Yes.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to mainly deal within a dimension of fear, almost like hell.
Oh.
And how that affects, and he's going to have to go through these different universes in his and fight them. And I think I'm so fucking excited for that.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that also brings up additional Marvel characters as well, which can bring in characters like Ghost Rider, a proper Ghost Rider, hopefully. There was
I
know it wasn't the devil, but what was the main name? Like, you have Blackheart, and who was the actual devil without calling him the devil? He had went by some other name.
In what are you talking about?
Like Ghost Rider and
Mephistopheles?
Yeah. You know, well, he was quote unquote the devil for the Marvel universe.
Yes, that's what he was. Yeah.
You know,
the unclean one.
You bring in some of those like outside of the norm characters, which I hopefully something like this Doctor Strange movie will bring about.
I think it will.
Is what I'm hoping for.
And that's actually a good segue into you talking about bringing a lot of characters. What about that first animated series, What If, where they have the Watcher and you have 25 returning MCU voice actors?
Yes.
I'm all about that, dude. Give me a solid animated series.
And I loved the What If books when I was growing up. And when I was a kid growing up.
Who knew my son would be hosting a cartoon show?
That your big-headed son,
yes. Like, yes.
The one that I'm kind of about, I'm gonna have to watch it to see. Disney Plus already got my money. Like, but this shit that's coming out, there's no fucking way they got my money.
Yeah.
But Loki, I'm like, okay,
Well, I think isn't his supposed to be taking place of after the first Avengers movie? It's supposed to be like that in between time where you don't know where
he is. It's about after Endgame when he gets.
Oh, it's after Endgame. Okay.
When they go back in time and he gets Tesseract and disappears in Endgame.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
But that didn't happen in the original Avengers. That's because of Endgame. Yeah. So it's going to be what happened after that.
Right.
So it's a cool premise. It's Endgame set up.
But
a lot of stuff.
How long will it carry steam is the question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how. I just don't know. That's all I don't know about.
I mean, look, any chance to see Loki on screen? He obviously that character's played so fucking well. As long as you have solid writers, which Marvel does, I don't think that they would do that willy-nilly. I think that they would do it with a plan already in place, which I think they had way prior to Endgame, because they do this shit 3 or 4 years prior in advance.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they knew he was going to break off and into a new alternate timeline once he got the Tesseract in his hand and disappeared, and they already had that ready to go.
See, I think the problem with Loki at this point is that even in the movies, it's been proven that nobody trusts him anymore, that everybody knows that he's the trickster god. And, you know, when you call yourself the trickster god, it's pretty much like, I got you. Yeah, actually, that's my fault. You're known as the trickster god. I should probably just not believe anything you say.
Right.
Moving forward.
Yep.
And at this point, nobody does. So his role in the MCU is kind of burned out at this point. And he was fantastic up to this point. I'm not saying that I'm tired of Loki, but it's. There's only so much more you can do with the character now.
Well, and it's just really the blunt way to put it is how many times can he die? We know Marvel is known for bringing back characters, comics, whatever, how many times does he have to die?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. No, and you're right. Like, I feel like with Ragnarok, that was like the last, that was it for me. Like, you know, him pretending to be Odin and like, you know, thinking Thor's like dead basically or whatever, like gone.
Yeah.
And then like running Asgard like an asshat. I don't know. That was like, that was the final one for me. Like, I was like, okay, that's third time, fourth time we've dealt with it, I feel like, right?
Full circle, if you will. Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I'm done with this. Like, so that's why I'm wondering, did them, the way they wrote him in as far as the endgame twist, did that breathe new life in the drawing board? So now we're going to see something different? Or, I mean, it can't really deal with Earth. I would feel like it'd have to be more with dealing with his...
the other realms or whatever.
Well, his origin, too. You know? Well,
you questioning is probably the very reason why they did not make a movie for him specifically and put it on TV. It's been so saturated that people are so maybe over it, or they've seen it enough times. The only way to really do it differently or in some way that may appease the audience would be to bring it to TV, where you have like a multitude of different storylines you can
go
with.
Yeah.
The most one that's piqued my interest that I heard released, because I honestly have no fucking clue what this is going to be, what this is about, is the Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, yeah. Mandarin, like, baby.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Mandarin.
Ten Rings, man. Remember?
Yeah. Oh,
shit. From Iron Man and all that? Yeah.
Okay. See, the only way I knew the Mandarin was through Iron Man. I never read anything.
There's a little mini scene in, I think, the post-credit scene or something, where it shows that actually the Mandarin isn't Guy Pearce's character, that there is an actual Mandarin that's been pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah,
the whole time.
I forget which one. It's one of those, like, it was one of those actual ones, like Item 47, like one of those mini movies.
Yeah, the mini movies.
And because also that's how they were, that was prequeling to, because it happened in Blackgate Prison, which is also where Luke Cage was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of how that was before Netflix was releasing the series. But it is possible for Ben, what's his face, Sir Ben
Kingsley.
Thank you. I knew I was going to say that wrong, so that's why I said that. Mm-hmm. Where he may actually be the Mandarin, but he was playing a part. You know, he was playing the other dude.
Yeah.
Type thing. But the Mandarin has always been the main villain, arch nemesis for
Iron Man,
because the original Iron Man, of course, was more in Korea, Asian based.
Yeah.
Than it was Middle East. So the Mandarin fit there. But that also brings up the question of who's going to be the next Iron Man if they're going to bring back the Mandarin. Because
they're clearly giving the Mandarin his own thing. So they're clearly going to give you a good introduction to that before a precursor.
But where will it cross tied to the rest of the MCU?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be Ben Kingsley, though, as the actual Mandarin. And when I watched the panel and the way that they described it was that during those events, the real Mandarin was watching and going, oh, fuck no. Like, no, hell no. Like, I don't know what, you know, basically, like, he may have been somewhat pulling the strings from a international level, but their individual actions, he wasn't very happy with, and how he was presented across the world as the Mandarin. And that's the way I got, that's the impression that I got from the panel. I think that they will probably go, not Ben Kingsley. I think they'll probably go more specific to the character. They'll probably go Asian of some, you know,
in terms of
who plays it, which makes sense because they would. And I think majority of their cast is as well. I'm excited to see that.
Ooh, yeah. They get the dude from The Raid.
That would be good.
They get the director.
Oh shit!
Well, that, but I mean, like, literally, the actor from The Raid. I feel like, you know, he's a little older now. Make him look a little older. You know?
Well, yeah. And speaking of not knowing a whole, I mentioned the Eternals earlier to make sure we're covering all the Marvel. To be honest, I know very little about the Eternals. I know that they pop up in the comics. They're like immortal beings, and they're, if you think about it, they're almost like the Mandarin, where they sort of like they pull strings, like they're the reason why certain things have happened in history. But the only time I can think of when they've really showed up in the comics, at least from what I've read, is with X-Men.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I think that I don't know if that's the full mystery of where they're going to fall into the MCU and if they're going to have cameos of other characters.
So. I'm with you. I don't know much about the Eternals, but from what you're describing, it sounds like they're like the League of Shadows of the Marvel world.
Kind of, yeah.
Where they've caused create things in history to happen. So you're saying like they might have set up Hydra happening and like they knew this stuff was there.
They could actually be the head, quote unquote, of Hydra, or at least kind of like the whisper in the ear to get things going.
From my, and I'm not that I've read the comics, but my understanding of the Eternals, that they were actually sent to Earth to protect humanity from an outside force from the like the Guardians or the
oh so we could be
the
talking...
Overwatcher the Watchers the Watchers of the Universe. I'm trying to think of their specific name, but they sent the Eternals.
Watchers.
The Watchers, yeah.
The Watchers, yes.
But I thought Stanley. There was a different name, but they were sent to Earth to protect humanity from a specific enemy, is at least what I was explained to me.
Or is that going to be a tie-in with the Kree and the Skrull from like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Maybe.
And Captain Marvel very, and I stuff mean, it like
very,
that.
It
yeah.
very well could be.
And even Guardians, yeah. we have the old ones.
Yeah,
bring up where like their heads are like planets. Was it were
right.
like sent
nowhere
ages and ages ago to protect from when they were actually beings?
Right.
You know, like, yeah. What were they? You know.
Yeah.
Take it from the Greek mythology. All these different groups are considered different titans.
Now, we touched on it very briefly, but I do want to mention before the break because we're right at the break now is that the new Thor movie that I'm
Love and Thunder.
Which, by the way, Love and Thunder is such a weird. It sounds like pooping after you have sex, like.
Well, what?
Love and Thunder.
How does that sound like pooping after you have sex?
Love and then bringing the thunder.
I think it's because he just...
It's more like a splatter.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
It sounds like when you're making love, you're going to give him the thunder. Like that's what happens in my head.
That's
they
what I
poop
take
because of it. That just means you hit
I think,
it that
I think
good.
You're standing on your own mountain there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But there has been talked that Natalie Portman's back, and she will be wielding the Mjolnir. She's going to be the... Thor, like Lady
That's
Thor.
That's gonna be rad as shit, though.
Which, that is,
you know, happened in the comics and stuff. And I know there's gonna be plenty of people deeply upset about this, but it's not that Thor is no longer in the movies. That's probably part of the plot and may continue.
Well,
to
he'll
be part
of the... from what they've already confirmed, he'll be in Guardians.
Yeah,
well,
he's gotta be.
So, yeah, as Guardians,
as Guardians.
Yes.
And he's still going to be, I mean, Hemsworth has signed on for several films. He's not going anywhere.
No.
So you're
right.
still going to get Hemsworth doing his thing as Thor. He just may not have the power of Thor necessarily. He's still going to be a strong ass fucking Asgardian. He just may not be able to shoot lightning.
Well, not necessarily, because he still has the axe. So Mjolnir could go just be going to her,
That's
giving
true.
The powers of
you
Thor.
You mean Stormbreaker? Yeah.
We'll see a Stormbreaker.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
The bigger one. I'm interested because I like how the interconnection between characters, how they'll explain that gap between her and Thor in terms of their relationship, like how they break up, and then somehow bringing that together where Mjolnir like just chooses her, or she has to probably be around it. In some form, like the way that they're going to do it, kind of blizzard. I don't know how they're going to even pull that together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you basically started out exactly what I was going to say was, it was evident from Endgame that Thor preferred Stormbreaker at that point. Mm-hmm. Mjolnir was still his go-to, but he was like, the bigger one, you know?
The bigger dick.
It was awesome. But if you think about it with bringing in Natalie Portman again, obviously they left a lot out where they were just, they did their breakup. He didn't get dumped. Sort of dumped or whatever.
It was mutual. Yeah.
But obviously what they've done with the comics, and Marvel is great for transferring this over to the movies these days, is where there's still got to be some more interaction. There's still got to be connection. You've got to get an origin, at least that from part of this movie coming out about where she actually, they're talking, they do something, whether it takes place after Endgame or they show the actual breakup. That they're going to be rolling through some old footage, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know? I mean, it'd be cool if they did it in the vein of, like, Captain Marvel, where, like, that was one of the... I love origins like that, where it's like, we're here, how did we get here? How did she get there?
Yeah, you get the memory flashes
I love that.
And the different
It's done
things.
So much better
yeah.
because it doesn't deter from, like, a like just finite story arc.
Right.
Bam, 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 this is
exactly,
how it happened.
Exactly.
Some of the other big ones, because, like you said, we're breaks coming up, and we have some other ones that were released. You know, we're getting Black Panther 2.
Black Panther 2, yes.
We're getting our Captain Marvel 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They mentioned Fantastic Four. So hopefully we'll actually get, finally, after how many fucking years, we're going to get like a decent Fantastic Four movie?
No shit,
Jesus
man.
Christ, I've been waiting for this forever.
I'm one of the torch holders for Fantastic Four, where I'm one of the few people being like, oh, they're still good.
Fantastic Four is awesome.
The story
it shouldn't take
are.
Goddamn, you know, 17 years to get a good fucking, 15 years to get a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, it's
now,
fucking bullshit.
Wasn't it Fox that still had them, though?
Yeah, no, they did. It wasn't Marvel.
So,
yeah.
That just goes to show the best Fox was able to do was X-Men and X-Men 2. When after that they blew their Deadpool. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. No, you're right.
Not
right.
Logan.
And first Wolverine. Class Days of Future Past.
I'm saying as an ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah.
God
motherfucker, you need to correct yourself, sir.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. So we've got Captain
Marvel 2.
This could
go anywhere.
And I feel like there's one other thing they
released. Guardians 3.
They did not give a release date, though, because of Suicide Squad, which sucks because we were supposed to get it next summer.
Yeah, Marvel fucked up.
Marvel fucked up hard, man.
Marvel didn't. Disney did. It wasn't Marvel's specific decision.
True.
It was Disney that decided to get rid of James Gunn originally.
It was Disney.
Right. All right. But on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over what we're drinking, do a drunken scene or two, and then get into the rest of Comic-Con. So stick around. Woo-hoo.
There's a lot.
Do you enjoy stories about drunk men on tractors T-boning a police car? Or someone jumping a gorge in a Nissan Versa? Or literally any story that comes out of Florida? Then you're going to love Booze Clues, the latest podcast on the Geeks Under the Influence Network. We do this show live every month in the Dark Room in Richmond, Virginia. It is a cavalcade of comedians, podcasters, performers in an investigation or riff on drunken crimes and debaucherous activity around the world. Doors are at 7, show starts at 8. It's 21 up and free. Again, that's at the Dark Room, 2818 West Broad Street in the upstairs suite. For more information, go to GUIpodcast.com. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things San Diego Comic-Con. But before we continue on with the episode, we got to talk about our sponsors a little bit moving forward here. Of course, Amazon.com, our longest running sponsor on this show, where you get all your cool shit. So all the action figures that got announced, which we will be talking about here shortly, all the new lines that are going to be released. There's the X-Men Legends line, looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're doing some X-Men figures that look exactly like the 90s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like look spitting image like 90s cartoon, and I'm deeply excited about that.
I didn't see a Rogue One. Did they show a Rogue?
I'm
like
sure
the
they
early
should.
90s cartoon type
you said Rogue One, and I was like, why would they now be
not
making
Rogue One? A Rogue specific.
I got you. I'm sure they're making a Rogue One.
They have to. She was huge if they're going with that.
From the animated series, absolutely.
She was everybody's crush.
Mm.
Truth.
Like, everybody wanted some Rogue.
They're making like a Storm Barbie now, I think.
Yep, they're doing that.
Ooh, yeah.
Anatomically correct.
I think it's a Storm, a Mystique, and a Rogue.
Some big moves.
Not Halle Berry Barbie. Yeah. It's just the Storm Barbie.
If you want to get your Halle Berry's Catwoman action figure, then go to Amazon.com.
You know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning?
It goes through the link at GUIpodcast.com to shop Amazon. Just like everything else. Upper right-hand corner. Go there, buy your action figures, buy your Halle Berry Catwoman movie, buy Monsters Ball, which was the sequel. I think that's the Catwoman sequel, right?
Billy Bob.
Well, Heath Ledger was in DC Universe as well.
Billy Bob Thornton played the Riddler, I think. I'm pretty sure that's how that worked.
I thought he was Two-Face.
He was Two-Face. Yeah, so of course, you're buying stuff from Amazon. We all do. So just make sure you go through GUIpodcast.com, the link to Amazon there, because we get credit for it, and that's a way to support.
Yeah, no additional money to you.
Whatever this is.
You're not paying extra.
Yeah, you're not paying extra.
Just an extra step.
Yep, exactly. So easy enough. It helps us out, and we deeply appreciate it. I also want to thank everybody that voted for us as the best podcast in Richmond by the Times-Dispatch and Richmond.com. The voting extended. So we appreciate everybody that took the time to even once go in and vote for us. We do deeply appreciate it. It's not everything. Honestly, hearing from you guys is probably what makes me most excited about doing this podcast, is just hearing that you enjoyed a show or an episode, or it got a conversation started with your friends about something, whatever. That kind of stuff is what really makes it for us. But getting the recognition, getting us out there so more people, you know, have heard of us or give us a shot, you know, that's huge. That's also appreciated. So anyway, again, thanks for voting for us. We appreciate it. And then our final sponsor is, of course, TeePublic.
TeePublic.
I've got a couple designs I'm working on currently for the TeePublic page. I'm going to have to add, I'm going to have to add the Red Guardian tampons idea.
Just make sure...
to the list there.
Oh, and
David Harbour's Red Guardian.
Make sure to have his fantastic goatee beard thing. Right.
Oh, please. And we were discussing yesterday, Geek Father should have some new things up for
there's
the,
gonna be some
Geek Father
stuff.
Store as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So put that shit on a pillow.
That was so cool to see.
I love my face on a
big,
fucking
dumb
pillow.
Face on a pillow.
I don't want your face on a pillow.
Ask Hunter. I brought it up a lot.
I don't want to wake up. It's the waking up in the morning going, oh, man. Oh, fuck. And then just seeing your face staring back at me.
Go to GUIpodcast.com/store to get the link to our TeePublic page. We also have exclusive merch that you can only get by the events that are coming your way from Geeks Under the Influence. Speaking of which, one of the announcements, and we're going to get into some of the other GUI announcements here in a minute, but... we just worked out a deal to be doing a couple events at Switch, which is a new pop-up bar in Richmond, Virginia, where they change the theme every 4 months or so. So right now it's Alice in Wonderland, and it's super cool. They got like a Cheshire Cat, and there's some like blacklight stuff happening, and like all the drinks are themed.
Almost Tim Burton-esque.
Borderline Tim Burton-esque type of Alice in Wonderland stuff that's happening there. The downstairs is called 1993, and it's got like a portrait of Biggie down there, and they're playing like TLC videos, and they have drinks like the Pete and Pete. But they, it's super 90s theme. Like everything down there is 90s theme. It's really cool bar. Definitely worth checking out, especially for Geeks Under the Influence stuff. We're not fully solidified on the dates yet, but I believe it's going to be the last Wednesday of the month is going to be our trivia nights that we're going to be doing there in classic GUI style, but tweaked for
the environment.
The environment. And I think it's going to be mainly 90s themed because we're going to be doing it downstairs at Switch. So it's going to be 90s themed trivia that we're going to be doing there. And then this is the cool one. We're doing a scavenger hunt for every installation they do there. We're going to be doing a themed scavenger hunt that involves both searching on the internet for pictures or quotes or like little like super deep cut trivia stuff that you need the internet to find out. There's also going to be an in the restaurant scavenger hunt with QR codes that you scan the QR codes and it'll send you to a hidden page on the internet.
That's cool.
That will give you a clue to find the next QR code. Something that we've been kind of playing with the idea for a little bit, and it's going to be super fucking rad.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Bar scanner and then Google that shit. So it's all a hybrid of that, huh?
Yeah, it's a hybrid of something that we did a little bit with the trivia at Fallout that we do every first and third Monday. It's going to be really cool. We'll have more information about that and the trivia nights here in the very near future. So we're hoping to get that started in August. So definitely pay attention. It's so cool. The bar is so cool. I'm deeply excited we get to do some stuff there because I just really want to have an excuse to go.
No, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it's really neat. So yeah, check out GUIpodcast.com and our social media for more stuff on that. Additionally, Lowdown, you got some information about some things coming to the network. I think you do.
Do I have something?
Mm-hmm. You do.
Do
have something? You might have a little something.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me think. Oh, yeah. I'm looking for, it'll probably release the second week of August. We're going to have a new show coming to the network. It's going to be a horror-based show. I feel like GUI Network it's the right time for us to branch off into that.
Yep.
It's going to be all horror. It's going to be roughly a 45-minute long podcast. It's going to be called From the Mouths of Madness. And I'll be running it with the co-host of Beautiful Disasters, Fuck You Hunter. He and I are going to be running that together.
Yes.
And we're looking at having one other guest on. And we're going to have a little treats involved in that to kind of give it its own little pizzazz. Some fun stuff.
Some jazz hands.
Yeah, some jazz hands.
Well, it's about time because
it's going to be fantastic.
So many of us are horror fans, period.
Big horror nerds. And also what's unfortunate, especially during the summer when the big blockbuster movies are coming out, and we're having to do an episode of GUI every week as opposed to every other week.
Right.
Is we don't have necessarily the time to schedule in all the cool horror movies. Like we didn't get to do a Midsummer episode.
Nope.
Oh, right.
And you know, or Pet Sematary, or we're gonna make room for some of the bigger horror movies for sure. But this actually allows the opportunity for us to hit all the big ones. You know,
revisit some of the older ones. Hopefully,
absolutely.
We're gonna revisit. Or? Also, we've got we're gonna act. You know, I've already got some episode ideas lined up involving Creepshow, the movies versus the Shudder series with Greg Nicotero's.
Oh, that's good.
Like,
so
I mean, there's
good.
There's so much horror shit coming out. It's not all going to be media releases either. I mean, I want to go into delving into some of the history and the mythos behind horror.
You definitely need an episode where Sam Raimi is going to be jumping back into the Evil Dead. World.
Yep,
that's
yep.
a huge one.
That is huge.
I want it. I'm looking at you with intense anger and love at the same time.
Right,
which is really scary.
So this will be relieving some of the stresses of GUI a little bit with being able to fit everything, is having a more horror-centric. Now, we're still going to be doing a lot of horror stuff in the month of October, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our thing. That's some of our most popular episodes are the horror ones in October. So we're not going to mess with that. You're still going to get those. But some of the stuff that we've just not had a chance to do anything with besides maybe mention now is going to be given proper
platform.
Yeah, proper platform for it.
I'm really stoked. I've already put a lot of work into it. So
yeah,
good.
A lot of help from... the old Hobbitus over there.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked for this, guys. Can't wait to bring it to you. And everyone I've talked to about it is already wanting to be set up for episodes. So, like, we're
going
to come out with some,
And which I have not made mention, but I'll do this on air, is that Lowdown has been doing the editing for GUI Nights now. Mm-hmm. And like the last one that we released was all Lowdown.
I was wondering, did you do anything to that, or did I really I did make it
nothing.
Sound that good?
Yes. I did nothing to it.
It sounded so
it
good.
Did, it did sound.
Look,
I
think I just saw his head swell up a
no,
little
no,
bit there.
No, my heart did, and then my dick a little.
I'm not sure.
Okay, fair enough.
My heart swelled up because I went like, oh, I hope this is good, and then I listened, and I'm like, there's literally nothing I can do to make this better. This is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I felt the same way when I was starting Geek Father.
Now, one more announcement on the network before we move forward here is that there is one more show that's going to be coming out on the network very soon, and this is going to be another live show. This is a show that's already been around for a little bit that we're actually turning into a podcast. We're going to be breaking it up into multiple episodes from the performance. The next performance is coming Wednesday.
This Wednesday will be the
24th, I think, yeah. And it's called Bibliophilia.
Yes.
Yep.
This is, I am super excited. Our buddy Ben is joining the network with a show that he's been hosting at Fallout, where performers go up and they perform erotic fiction, erotic fan fiction, and slash fiction in front of a crowd. So it's like, it's like Harry Potter erotic like fan fiction and...
You
and
don't want to know what they're doing with those wands.
Oh yeah, like it's.
Are we going to see supernatural stuff in there too?
That's the thing, is that the performers get to choose their own stuff. So there was one where... there was somebody fucking a helicopter person. There's a famous fan fiction called My Eternal, which is like a vampire Harry Potter slash fiction that was read. There's all sorts of just real weird stuff that gets read, and it's tear-jerkingly funny. I've been to the events. It's absurd, some of this fan fiction, and they're reading like also like really intense, like intentional erotic fiction, like novels and stuff as well, where that they're being like serious. It's not to be funny or anything, which makes it so much funnier. And they talk a bit about, you know, the fiction, the writers, that kind of stuff as well in the conversation as well. So it's going to be super, super fun.
That's going to be awesome.
In front of a live audience. So it gets fucking silly. And I'm more than excited to have this on the network.
That's
I'm going to be helping with the live recording.
Okay.
Of the show, but
engineering, if you will,
engineering. But that should be hopefully weekly, or at least every other week, show that will be on the network coming probably next month and a half. So
the GUI train is full steam ahead, sir.
It's just getting bigger.
Whew.
Like that'll bring us to, just with those two edition shows, we're gonna have 10 shows in the network.
It's a fucking thing.
All right, we gotta do this. This will be a longer episode because there is so much to cover.
Right.
Additionally, I wasn't really sure what to do for making a drunken scene, so because we had the announcements for GUI and stuff, we're just going to kind of skip that.
Okay.
We're not going to do a drunken scene this evening. I know, guys. Aww, I'm sorry. But we are going to do talk about the libations that are helping lubricate this show a little bit. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
I think I hiled for Kyle.
We did.
We were told, like, have you seen Kyle?
Have you seen
Oh,
Kyle?
Shit. Hey.
Hey. Josh was like, hey, that just gets me every time.
Hey.
Butthole.
What?
Drywall. These are all keywords that you can search for GUI now. Butthole, drywall, tongue punch.
I'm going to absolutely have a butthole and drywall as a hashtag on our Twitter release for this episode.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
we're kid friendly.
We promise.
No.
And so what are we drinking this evening? What's our share that we're...
It's a share we actually had from, I believe, two episodes ago.
I think it was the Far From Home.
Far From Home, yep. It's the roast. It's a coffee-infused apple cider. It's from... hard cider, excuse me. It's from Bold Rock, which is East Coast local, but from Nelly's for Virginia. It's delicious. It's coffee. It's appley. It's goddamn... I love
and
it.
And has that... Just enough of that hint of coffee just that it mixes well.
Scott, it's your first time
trying like almost like you're doing your morning coffee with like a couple pieces of apple or something, like your breakfast.
Or coffee late at night as you're watching all the streaming videos of all this stuff releasing at San Diego Comic Con at like 3 o'clock in the fucking morning.
After drinking all night watching a Veil.
Although, I want to know who's throwing pieces of apple in their coffee in the morning.
I said you eat it while drinking your coffee.
Oh, eating while drinking.
Still, who eats apple while drinking coffee?
If you eat fruit for breakfast, I do.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It could be delicious. This is.
Yeah, this is very
really good. I don't actually taste the coffee as much as I do the cider portion of it.
Yeah, I mean, the cider is going to be definitely the main
element.
The
coffee hits you up front. and it's more like a roast flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could almost be confused if you didn't know well enough, like, the IPA, except the IPA's got that little more piney part to it. Yeah, the Bold Rock IPA. And the only other thing I'm drinking on is, again, they're a hard seltzer, which I hope they distribute, but it's cucumber melon. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, which I've had a couple of those, and I traded you one of my standard Bold Rocks, just to name what I'm drinking as well. So
they're pretty good. What's the alcohol content on that?
4%.
Oh, yeah. That's it's a good, like, for the summer, weekend we've had, for, like, the heat and everything, it's a nice cool drink without, like,
That's, you know, everybody's making jokes about White Claw and stuff. The Claw. No one escapes the Claw, but...
Jim Carrey. God damn you.
But, honestly, when it's really hot out, I've had days where... It's too hot to drink beer because it's like the carbs and it's just like heavy and you're not, even the lighter beer is just too much when it's that hot.
Even some ciders are still just enough where it's just like, I've got that in my mouth, you know, like,
And you can drink only so many Twisted Teas before,
sugar.
Yeah. You get tired of those.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was drinking the White Claws last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now apparently it's taking the meme world by storm.
Yep. Right.
So what do we get next on the list of stuff? I mean, we talked about literally just the Marvel stuff, which is a big portion of
that's majority. Well,
yeah, Marvel takes over San Diego most years.
And spent unreasonable amount of time on
cats. We didn't go into anything DC.
Anyway, so I want to...
so next subject.
So we've got...
So the big one that was really surprised for me, and I'm also kind of worried about, is Top Gun Maverick.
I have mixed feelings about it because the trailer looks good.
It looks really good.
But also part of my issue there is like that the whole setup is like, oh, you should be like a two-star admiral by now, but you're still a captain. Why is that? That, and it's like, oh, one of life's mysteries, and he's literally doing exactly the same shit that he was doing in the fucking 90s.
Right.
And
or
I'm
no,
going,
80s.
Or 80s, I'm sorry, 80s.
80s, man.
So, like, there's literally no... growth for this character at all? Is that what we're
the only thing that I've noticed in the trailer is that they have the spacey looking helmet that he's wearing at one point.
So he might be
so there's some new experimental plane or something happening. I think is well, and the original rumor for this one was supposed to be that he's running the Top Gun school. But I don't know how that's going to carry into the movie based on the trailer.
And the drone thing, too.
Yeah.
Get the dude in his 50s to go in an experimental craft that probably pulls real hard Gs. That's a real good decision.
Yeah.
That's real smart.
Of course.
Well, also, you know, in the original one, of course, they lost Goose. And in this one, I think it's Goose's son who is part of the program. So it even looks like in the trailer, they recreated the bar scene with, you know, you've lost that love and feeling and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And the volleyball scene. So it's like.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings. Like the jet scenes, what they actually showed were real pilots, just like they did in the original. They have stock footage in like 6K or something along those lines to record these, which will look great from a story perspective. Sure. It's literally, it looks like it's just
a rehash
of almost every significant moment within the original film. What's the point?
If they have a scene with him driving his motorcycle, which they did show in the trailer, but they're playing Take My Breath Away, I'm going to fucking puke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it'll be that, but in some other form. It'll be done by a new artist.
Oh, yeah, like, a remix or something.
It'll be a remix with maybe some fat beats.
It's going to be Fallout Boy doing Take My Breath Away, from the Ghostbusters movie.
But
they destroyed that
good.
Song. They really better not.
I do want to, if we're going to move on from this, I do want it to be good. I want them to not, if they're going to do a sequel to Top Gun, because I fucking love Top Gun.
I love Top Gun.
It's a great movie.
I want a great sequel, but just don't. Redo the first one.
Don't make it a remake.
Right.
With the same people. That's just
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I mean, if Goose comes back, you know you're fucked. It's like we really had nothing to do.
Zombie
we brought
fighter
him back.
Pilots.
We thought he was dead.
Are we gonna see like Val Kilmer in his like
his fat suit?
Dude. I mean
Damn. That's just his
damn.
Body.
Oh, that's just body. Damn it, you're right. I thought it was all makeup. No, no.
Only if he still does that little chomp at him. I'm hungry.
Yeah,
no, but with all the possible ridicule that we just gave the trailer for Top Gun, I will say I'm still like dick hard for this movie. Like I want to give it a chance. I want it to be good.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if it is total trash, but there's some really good dogfight scenes.
Dogfights
might still be worth
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a lot of it's going to storyline is hopefully going to be good, but if it gives at least somewhat decent action. I'll give it something.
Yeah. And I will say that they show some love for Tom Skerritt and his character and what he had to do within the original.
Fair.
I think that I guarantee you they will. I just don't know in what way that they will. But they really, I'm hoping they do it in a non like cheesy, like formulaic way where it's just like his fucking picture in the background, where it's just like, oh, I remember those days, and then they move on. Like, I just don't think that that would be fair to the character.
I don't know. It's nothing about that trailer says they're going to do something stuff nuanced.
Like, true. Wait, yeah.
Very ham-handed.
I you know, I am really interested in seeing who John Hamm's going to play in this.
I'm true. I'm interested in finding out when Ed Harris realizes that he died like 3 years ago.
No, he's going to be the new Crypt Keeper in the new Tales from the Crypt series.
Yeah, he looks fucking haggard in that.
Yeah, he does.
He is old. I know.
But he was also old in The Rock. So
true.
I mean,
he was old in The Abyss.
Wait till we get that sequel. They're probably going to announce it on, like, you know, Sunday night at like 9 o'clock, like PM, I mean,
and it will play. We Will Rock You, and they're like, Rock Two.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see Nicolas Cage like, we will rock.
Yeah. I mean,
he does the hand pointy thing from Gone in 60 Seconds, like, let's rock. And then just the title.
He's got the long hair from Next.
All right, well, that's the next Smack My Pitch Up episode.
Yeah, right.
I think for us to see a young Ed Harris, we have to go back to, like, what was that Romero movie?
I don't know. What was that?
They were lancing
Knight
with
Riders.
Knight Riders.
They were
lancing
Riders,
in motorcycles. Yeah. And that was, what, like, 79?
Yeah. No, I think it was 80, 81.
It was between.
And just to really get
it
technical.
Was before Dawn, I feel like, wasn't it?
No, I think it was I think it was actually the same year as Dawn.
Era, yeah.
So that was 78.
Okay.
Dawn.
I thought it might have been 70s.
I mean, it's possible.
It was one of his earliest films. So definitely, if you want to see a young Ed Harris, go back there.
And
you might see a young one. You know what you never see, though, is a young Morgan Freeman. Ever, fucking ever will you see a young Morgan Freeman.
He came out the womb that way.
Right. Truth, but he didn't start getting into movies and famous until he was well into his 40s.
40s, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Fair enough.
He was a late starter on that.
But he was getting the ladies with his voice.
Oh, absolutely.
His whole life.
Here's a train wreck movie that I was kind of interested in seeing. Now I'm kind of not. But Ed Furlong coming back to Terminator Dark Fate. Come on, man.
Oh, come on.
That's why I wore this shirt. Because I'm like, all right, this was the Ed Furlong that this is where I stop. After this, I stopped remembering him. That and Brain Scan.
Brain Scan.
Oh, Brain Scan.
Brain Scan
so
is amazing.
I love that movie.
I know. I just rebought it. But
it's a great movie. Oh, what I don't. As much as I like scoured the internet, there was no mention of in what way he will be included into the new movie. I understand that it'll be his original character, obviously.
Well, it would, yeah,
but into what way and what relevance will his character have? At that point, he should be pretty fucking soldiered. Like, he should be big and tough or strong and willing to lead. But the Edward Furlong that we've seen recently just doesn't look like any amount of working out behind
the
scenes.
He looks like a potato. Fucking potato.
No, he's on the Val Kilmer workout program.
Actually, recent pictures of him.
They work out together.
Oh, shut up.
Jesus.
Too much talking.
No, recent pictures have popped up of him. He's lost the weight at least.
Okay.
Because
he's
been at cons like the past, like in the recent month or so.
Yeah.
From the pictures, he's actually lost the weight. Now, how like beefcake he'll get, which again John Connor should be at this point, at least some extent.
Yeah, he should be
now leader. Granted, food is scarce, so you're not like talking like, you know, The Rock.
You're
huge.
Talking Spartan big,
right,
like
just exactly scared. Very toned, very whatever. But well, I just want to say Dark Fate, regardless of Edward Furlong, looks fucking dope as
so
shit.
So did Genesis, and then that turned into a big pile of shit.
That was a
but
big
it
pile
also
of
didn't
shit.
Have Lyndall Hamilton and the motherfucker and some like the director and different director
Tim
and
Miller.
Stuff.
Yeah,
and
Miller,
plus
yeah.
James Cameron was sitting there and go, this one is R rated. It's bringing you back to the T2 days.
Genesis was R rated.
Was it? Are you sure?
I thought.
Yeah, Genesis was R-rated, I believe. Yeah,
I don't think we've never had a non-R-rated one.
No.
Three.
Arnold said he after three, he would not be in a Terminator movie if it was PG-13.
Yeah, so three was the only one. That was
probably, it? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going by just even the recent video that like had James Cameron, Lyndall Hamilton, and a bunch of others that every other word was shit or fuck, and they're talking about fucking action, and this shit is going to be nuts.
No, okay.
And yeah.
Okay. It's Terminator, though. It's fucking Terminator.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Well, you know, it's like you said. Well, I don't think that they're so far into the future that anything has really occurred to the point of. I mean, they look like they still have plenty of functioning vehicles. It didn't look like everything was a wasteland.
No.
At least what you could see from the trailer. So I guess that's why I'm so curious about how his character at that point will evolve. Has he just been with Linda Hamilton the whole time? Has he gone off and done his own thing and done training? Like, where are we at with Skynet? It's going to be real. It's really confusing to me so far in the timeline of where exactly they are and what movies are they ignoring?
I think
after two.
Yeah.
Of course, they'll probably jump right after two. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the main thing that they were talking about, is that basically T1, T2, and now this movie. Basically what they did with Halloween.
Yeah.
As long as they're approaching it.
James Cameron's name's attached to it, you best believe it's only after T2.
Right. Right.
So yeah, they're killing 3, 4, and then Genesis.
Correct. Yep.
Well, which I like Salvation. I did like Salvation.
I did like Salvation. Was too. Good.
It
but
got a bad rap for no reason.
To me, I'll take it as a good side story for that, because it shows you a good pivotal, like, somewhat point. But that movie to me led more into the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV run.
Well, I think that, and I get what you're saying. I see that, because I watched a little bit of that show. I can see that. But I was thinking it actually, this movie didn't forget about Salvation, because you're having this half-human, half-Terminator, and what the fuck do they have in Salvation?
Right.
You had a half-human, half-Terminator. Right, sure. So it's like they're literally taking chunks of that and putting it into this movie.
Yeah. Well, you can't forget about the future when your show's set in the past. So the future hasn't actually happened, so anything that happened in the future is still there until you say it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, talking about these alternate timelines and how they've, you know, they there are fixed points, but now we're trying to fill in the gaps. Can we talk about Picard?
Oh, fuck yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice segue, by the way.
Yeah, that was well done. That was beautiful. I'm proud of you. Mm. now that we ruined it.
Of course. Well, that's what we do on this show.
Yeah. That trailer gave me chills.
The second trailer. The first trailer was great. It was lovely.
It was very
peak.
Light.
Yes.
It looked like a wine commercial, the first trailer.
First
trailer. But the second trailer was, there's two things you can say. Data and Borg. Mm. And
fuck yes.
Everything else in between, I don't give a fuck.
And
I don't care.
And movie quality filming. It looks like a film.
It looks amazing.
Fucking beautiful.
That's what we were saying, because we watched it to show what nerds we were as we're pre-gaming for Avail. We're watching this on Mike's phone yesterday, you know, to be like, oh, fuck yes. But it really looks like a trailer for a movie, not a full-run series.
And it's got, what's-her-face, the chick with the...
Jerry Ryan.
Yeah,
from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, no, Voyager.
No, that was Voyager.
Voyager.
Yeah.
So they're even crossing, and there's been very little crossover between the different series with this. So her coming from the Voyager
She was a converted Borg, right?
Right. Well, there's always been little nods, because Voyager was on Deep Space Nine before they were kicked over into the other quadrant.
Yeah. Yep.
And everything. That was their big connection there.
Well, in the beginning of Deep Space Nine, there was
Enterprise.
Enterprise was there.
Yes.
Enterprise has showed up at a couple key points in DS9 during battles and stuff as well.
Yes, it did.
Right. The ship did, but yeah. Well, and then the connection was that Sisko from DS9 lost his wife at Wolf 359 when Picard was a Borg and was attacking Starfleet settlements.
Yeah.
Which was
need the Grootses on for that whole thing there.
Specifically,
you know?
Jody.
Specifically definitely, Jody, yes. Jody.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too tough to get her to come on to talk about Jean-Luc Picard, no. USS Enterprise.
Oh, I'm interested to see how they
I'm
show
that.
when Now, we don't know for sure that if the Borg will be a present danger or something that affected him in the past with you led the biggest armada, you know, or attack in history. I don't know where they're going with that timeline, but if it is, I would like to see how it still affects him being around the Borg.
Sure.
And that one to see if it's still in his body, his biological nature, like once they changed it. Still affects him. Does he feel it? Does he feel that presence?
Well,
sort of like Will from fucking Stranger Things, reach to the back of his neck or the fuck his eye, and it's like, God damn it, the Borg are close.
Oh, Borg demigorgons.
Borg gorgons.
Demi Borgs.
Demi Borgs.
Demi Borgs.
Demi Borgs.
Well, we know it.
That might be the name of the episode. Right,
get it. Yeah. But to follow up, we already know that it affects Picard though, because that happened in First Contact.
That's what I'm saying. Is
that we know it feels it. So, but again. Because of after the Dominion and so much other stuff has happened, are the Borg still present? Also, what are the effects of bringing Data back after knowing that we lost OG Data in the last actual movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was that duplicate one that they found that
his brother?
That Tom Hardy. No, not the
Nemesis,
evil one.
Not the evil
Nemesis.
One.
The last movie that was. Eh. Yeah, they tried real hard, but it was basically this fake one, But all they had to do was technically transfer his memory into this other one, but it wasn't the emotion, it wasn't the learning that Data had throughout the series and the movie. So
this is base programming.
So why do they bring him up, and why are they like reactivating him while this Borg shit is happening? Those are the big questions for this whole series.
Now, I think he announced this last year at San Diego Comic-Con, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out and said the series was happening, but that was it.
Well, no, but he came out and said, you will see Jean-Luc Picard again.
Like,
He brought it out in his panel. He was in the crowd, of course, lost their shit. I'm sure people fainted, fucking whatever.
Jerked off,
attacks.
Whatever.
I mean,
oh, there was furious masturbation in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know?
That's because Next Generation is superior to Wall.
I love Next Generation.
DS9. For me,
DS9 is my favorite.
DS9
Next Generation
is
got me. Next Generation got me into Star Trek, and then DS9 is what became my favorite. It is how it went for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I thought, I swear that I read or saw in interviews where they were going to bring Picard into Discovery as well.
Okay.
I think I heard something about a possible cameo but not a full story arc.
No, but like he pops in to Discovery. So I don't know if that's still going to happen. That'd be awesome to see. Discovery is really good.
I have not seen it.
It's
but
good.
Is it
it's good.
Set in future tense?
It's a prequel.
To what?
It's a prequel
OG?
To... No, not OG.
Because doesn't Spock, a young Spock, technically show up? I haven't watched it yet.
Season two.
I'm about halfway through first season, I think, at this point. But
it's a prequel,
I'd imagine
right?
if that's it, Picard like would be like
10
a
years,
young officer.
I think it's 10 years prior to... Next Generation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's in between OG and TNG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Picard wouldn't
say
be
that
captain
five times
yet.
Fast.
So no. He said it's not the Picard that you know.
It's the de-aged Picard.
Maybe
he has.
I thought it was
a few strands of hair.
Yeah. Right.
I thought that was supposed to happen. Well, I mean, even in the Next Generation, he had like the gray around.
Yeah. He had the cul-de-sac going on in TNG.
Only Picard can make that halo look sexy.
It's true. It's Picard with a skullet.
Actually, he did in the original David Lynch Dune movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He did have the full balding mullet thing happening. Yeah,
it's never gone away.
Nope.
What else we got? Because we're getting here.
We got. Okay. We're gonna transfer it over into horror territory here.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
We got to talk about It Chapter Two. That motherfucking trailer was goddamn.
That was amazing.
Horrific.
Absolutely fucking terrifying.
And who's we did a few of us did discuss this. Who's gonna go watch that with Mike just to watch Mike's reaction?
I watched the first one with Mike and I sat next to them. And there's no way in hell I'm not gonna sit next to you for this one. You know that, right?
I had suggested on this when we were talking online that we just set up a camera that watches him react to the movie
right in the chair in front of him.
You can still sit there all you want.
I still see it vividly to this day. Like he literally had I think two minor panic attacks and he. Probably almost passed out at one scene.
And did you pee yourself a little?
No, but I did literally, like, and not even to, like, exaggerate it, I tucked my feet up into my chair at one point.
He was in fetal position in the chair rocking. I mean, I'm serious, man.
That first movie was real rough, and this is apparently worse.
And plus, the director's come out and said, you need to wear diapers. He didn't say that about the first one. This one he came out and said, no, I'm trying to fucking wreck your brain.
Because the first one was intense, but it wasn't... terrifying scary.
No,
now they're
it
adults.
Was.
You gotta up it. Yeah. Right?
But no, it absolutely was.
Think about it. In the sequel, now we've got them coming back as adults. So what's Pennywise gonna do? He knows he didn't scare him as kids, he beat him. So what's he gonna have to do
And they are showing him what looks like what maybe whatever version is the true form.
Now they go under the ground and they have this weird homed house looking.
They're getting
alien
ready
thing.
For the final attack and everything towards the end.
We better not get a fucking spider.
Oh,
God damn
fuck,
we get a fucking now.
We don't need no Wild Wild
in
West
the book,
shit.
Stephen King does describe him as arachnid-like, yada yada, but, I mean, that was shit was terrible.
So
the first of the original.
A tarantula.
So right. Like, what are the adult fears he's going to prey on? Like, you couldn't pay your electric bill this month? your bill's like $9,000 and your power goes
credit
out.
Credit score took a real big
corner.
Hit, and it's going to take you a little bit to get that back up.
Yeah, you're at 530. No!
No, I think what we might see is the like a better description, like in the book, where we have like that evolved Pennywise, where he's able to figure out that he can still prey on some of their old fears because like none of them have all of them have PTSD.
We all
none
still
of them
have childhood.
None of them have resolved any of their shit. They just stopped after that and either split. Some left, you know, like Mike stayed. Beverly left. Like, everyone left, right?
Beverly's father's still prevalent in her life.
Right.
Like, him is, like, the men she picks beats her. Like, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see that, like, he's able to now, but he ups the terror because they're adults. He can fuck.
One of them still commits suicide, I believe, before the reunion actually happened.
I mean, it happened in the book. They better keep that. If they change Stan, kill
him. Based on the trailer,
spoilers,
I think...
A little late, but...
I mean, it happened in the original, like, TV... miniseries.
I'm sure there are people that have not seen that.
Well, they did the panel on it, and I don't remember them. Is anybody playing Stan?
No, there is a Stan.
Is there?
They've got to at least film that.
I don't think he was there when they were doing the interview.
And there's some flashback scenes to Stan, not when he's as young as he was in the original, in the first one, but there are scenes when he's older where it is like
where they're showing him having his PTSD and everything to reflect on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, so I'm assuming that's going to be in this movie as well. So he's probably gonna have a few scenes, but he's not going to be
not a prevalent.
It's going to revolve around a lot of mental illness. Like,
seriously,
where they haven't talked to anybody.
And that's just horrifying. Not to mention, then you add the visuals. That scene in the fucking glass house was, oh my God.
Whoa.
But anyway, there clearly will be an episode of something. one of our shows. I mean, almost certainly the new horror.
To be drunk starts.
That's why I'm kind of driving the horror.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the new classic.
Oh, no, I'm talking. I'm staying on horror, and we're talking about the sequels.
That's what I mean.
You mean Kills?
Halloween and Kills. Ends? Halloween Ends. So for motherfuckers that didn't see that release, we got Halloween Kills coming out October of 2020. Then we have Halloween Ends to finish off the trilogy in October 2021. We got the same fucking cast, same director, same writing, writers. Same fucking writers.
Well, no, not the same writers. One of the same writers. Danny McBride and his writing partner are on for the next one with an additional writer.
Dan McBride's on for the third one, too.
That's the only person that's actually on all three of them.
Okay.
They're adding other writers in for the
Halloween Ends. He needs to keep them fresh, then. He's like, look, motherfuckers.
Danny McBride, like, from interviews, he is straight up a nerd. Like, he is...
Oh, 100%.
He's obsessed with the Alien movies. That's why he was super stoked to be in one of them. He's all about some Halloween, clearly. He's a cinephile. He loves genre films, and so he's gonna do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I know...
Completely fucked.
And I know we're rounding up this episode... but I want to go just some quick points. You're going to hate me. DC, especially the TV shows. Arrow's ending.
Yes.
And they're ending it off in a good point with Infinity. Or not Infinity, excuse me.
Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Which is the perfect way for them to go. Flash is going to introduce Red Death, versus just another speedster.
I'm super excited for it not to be a speedster.
Right. Yeah. Well, they didn't do a speedster this season.
Or last season.
No, they did Godspeed.
They did. Well, Godspeed was in one episode.
Yeah, there are still touches of other speedsters, but it's not the main focal story.
It's not the overarching villain.
You know? Sure. Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. Supergirl, which I haven't caught up in the last season, but I have been dying to see Lex Luthor's, Ducky's prevail of, or portrayal of Lex Luthor. Ducky from
It's not bad
Candles.
From what I've seen so far.
I've heard it's awesome.
I haven't finished the season, but we've watched, I think, at least through the break.
Yeah.
That guy pulls it off because, well, and if you don't know, there's a great nod to him playing Lex Luthor because he played Lex Luthor's nephew in Superman 3.
Superman 3.
He was.
And also, and just to end it off, Supernatural season 15. This is the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to see any of the panels before it ends.
They were a little late on releasing that shit.
But I just want to throw it out there because this San Diego Comic-Con, this will be the last year they're there. And it's also one of those shows, 15 fucking years it's been around. 15 years. It deserves respect. You don't even have to watch the show, but it deserves respect.
Wait, Ducky, he was the dude from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, yeah. John Cryer.
we just
realized who that was.
You just blew your mental load in that one picture.
No, like, I haven't watched 60 Candles in forever, but like
another comic book related announcement that happened at San Diego Comic Con that I'm very excited about is Marvel is going to be releasing the origins of Kylo Ren in the Rise of Kylo Ren comic series.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so it's going to
get into the origins of the Knights of Ren. And,
awesome.
This is prior to, like, The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Right.
Between that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm really excited about that. I've read off and on a number of the new Marvel Star Wars books, and they're good. They're really good.
I've heard they're really well written.
Yeah, they are very well written.
I haven't been able to get into the new canon. I just haven't had a chance to get into the new canon stuff and all that. So
that is one thing they didn't mention. I didn't see anything about the new Star Wars movie.
They actually have really stopped doing a lot of the big announcements at Comic-Con for Star Wars because they have their Star Wars Celebration.
That's true.
Their own convention. So right. That's where they do all the big drops.
D3 type
conventions.
So you know we're going to see finally a second Star Wars trailer and the first, like a real Mandalorian trailer.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's one thing that should... I don't know. Did San Diego really touch on the Mandalorian a whole lot? Because it goes into that what we were just saying about Star Wars.
There was conversation about it, but I don't think there's any new news.
No, big panel or anything.
There was a trailer. Yeah. I don't know if it's different than what was previously put out, but there was a trailer.
I don't know if you could probably find it somewhere because internet, but somebody leaked the first 5 minutes of the first episode of Mandalorian.
Right.
And I got a chance to see it before it got pulled off of YouTube.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good. And also, I mean, it's got, what's his fuck, the director?
John Favreau.
No.
He's the writer,
It's got the director, Werner Herzog.
He
plays the big bad, like, underworld guy.
Yes. Right.
Yes. And he is haunting in the scene that I saw him in.
Now, you see, I didn't get to see that. I got to see part of that, like, first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But... again, children and work stuff. I was like, I got to go back. Shit, it got pulled.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
I jumped on it. I was like, no, I have to watch this now or otherwise.
Right. No, fair enough. Yeah.
I saw it too. And then literally 20 minutes later it was pulled.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's plenty more stuff that came out about
everything.
Nerddom.
There was a shit ton more.
There were some toys. Some you play with.
There's going to be a lot of recap videos that are going to be available on YouTube. If we find a really good one that's worthwhile, we'll definitely throw it up on our social media so that you can kind of find out all the other cool stuff that's happening. So we just hit on some of the big highlights for Comic-Con, of course, and that still took us almost 2 hours.
Right. We didn't even touch on Jane Silent Bob.
That's what I was just saying.
Jane Silent Bob reboot.
Jane Silent Bob reboot.
Hey, no, that sounds like something we could talk about in a
bit. That's a separate thing, but Kevin Smith had his panel right after fucking Marvel. I don't know why he did it right at the evening, but he did not film it.
Let's save it for nights.
We'll do it.
That's what I was saying. Save it for something a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, until my balls tickle. I'm so excited.
So thank you so much for this extra large episode of Geeks Under the Influence. And we will have a GUI Nights next week. And then following that up, we have something. I got to look at what the next episode is. But yeah.
We got some shit going on.
We got a lot of shit going on.
So
definitely pay attention to our social media and GUIpodcast.com for information on the new stuff that we're doing at Switch. We do trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout still. We have some other live event stuff that will be coming very soon as well. So definitely just join the conversation on our social media. Best way to keep up with the newest stuff coming from the network. And we love you guys for following through.
Thank you.
And like, paying attention, listening to episodes, getting involved. We deeply appreciate it.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. We do. We love our fans. We got some pretty goddamn good fans.
Damn, we do.
We do.
We do.
We also got a good family here, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it is kind of a family.
It is.
Yeah.
We hate each other at times. We love each other more.
We bicker like family.
Oh, we definitely.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
No, but we deeply appreciate it. And also, please rate, subscribe, all that stuff that you do with podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Just do it for us.
Do it for us.
And us alone.
Do it for GUI.
Yeah.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit, as always. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
GUIpodcast.com